flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe.
For Ben Johnson, this was a guy who was clearly the top target for the Bears. Also, as you mentioned, the top target for the Las Vegas Raiders. I know he spoke to both of them. I know he did Zooms with both of them. It's pretty clear he had his choice of which team to pick, and he picked the Bears. And a lot of the reason why the Bears were an attractive selection for him, an attractive team for him, revolved around Caleb Williams. It's much easier to win games, as we saw in the playoffs yesterday and Saturday. Much easier to win games if you have a top-flight quarterback. Clearly, Ben Johnson taking this job in Chicago means he believes that Caleb Williams can be like those other guys, can be like the Patrick Mahomes of the world, the Josh Allens of the world. Certainly, the pedigree is there, and now it is on Ben Johnson to get him there.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
All right, Keefe, you ready to figure out how Ben Johnson's going to do as a head coach?
I'm born ready. I like Ben Johnson. I've always liked Ben Johnson. Even though they didn't win on Saturday, I'm not freaking out about Ben Johnson like some are.
One bad play. All of a sudden, the guy's a disaster.
No, he got a lot out of Jared Goff. He got Jared Goff all the way to that spot. That's a feather in the cap.
So we'll measure up what's going on in Chicago. Ben Johnson, the new head coach there with Caleb Williams versus the Patriots, who chose to go with Mike Vrabel over Ben Johnson. Bag job, sham interview process. And now they'll pair him with Drake May. Who would you rather be? We'll get into it here today on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to a variety of topics today, by the way. Both the Bruins and the Celtics won yesterday.
Sure did.
Nice little sports day between that.
Really was.
Early on with the matinee, the Celtics in the middle of the day blowing out Golden State.
I think I watched 3 non-competitive games.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well,
every different sport, none of them were all that competitive.
The Celtics blew out the Warriors, blew off Steve Kerr. You got the national title. That's not fair to say the national title game was non-competitive.
No, there were moments where it was good.
It was, you know, if you had Notre Dame plus a bunch of points like I did, you were sweating it out until the end.
Yeah.
And it still didn't hit, but it was almost a backdoor cut.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to the national title game as well. Plus, we're problem solvers here.
Sure.
You know, we're going to get into how we can solve the issues on some of these teams. Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, Red Sox, and WEEI as well. We're going to give you our pizza party rankings for the city.
Huge.
As we try to solve issues.
Yep.
And, you know, reach across aisles and shake hands. We'll be doing that today with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat. twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Who would you rather be, Keith? The Bears with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, number one pick in the draft a year ago. Real shaky rookie year, or at least underwhelming rookie year.
Yeah, yeah.
But now he has arguably the best play caller in the sport as his head coach and a quote-unquote star-studded coaching staff coming in.
That's right.
Or Mike Vrabel and Drake May. Who would you rather be?
I would rather be just in that conversation.
Yeah,
just those two.
Coach, not quarterback.
Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. And the reason why I say that, and I think they're both good. I think they're both set up to be pretty good. I can't change my tune. Like, before the coaching search began, I wanted Ben Johnson over Vrabel. And before last season, I wanted Caleb Williams over Drake May. Now, Drake May had a better rookie year. He had less around him and made more of it, right? Like, he was pretty good. Now, Chicago, turns out their coaching situation was a disaster. You know, he had multiple offensive coordinators and multiple head coaches in his rookie year. So even though we looked at it, we're like, oh, you got DJ Moore and you got DeAndre Swift and you got Keenan Allen, like, you should be set up to win. Turns out that really wasn't a great spot. But watching Ben Johnson get these last 3 seasons out of Jared Goff, I'll take my chances with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. I've always liked Caleb Williams more than you. He's a hard guy to defend in this moment, but I don't think he's a bum. I think he'll be pretty good.
So I would go the other way. I would lean Drake May and Vrabel. And you know me, I didn't love the Vrabel hire, but I am a quarterback over coach guy. I would rather have the quarterback than the coach. So I think you have a better quarterback than coach here. I don't think Ben Johnson's a slam dunk. I prefer him to Vrabel, but I don't think it's an automatic, like, you know, Kevin O'Connell or somebody would have been when we talked about him, or, you know, really high end, not that he was going to move, Sean McVay. You know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson isn't that. So I would lean into May and Vrabel. I can't shake that game a year ago. I understand what you're saying, Keith, where that was a disaster coaching staff. They've all been blown out.
Yeah.
Play callers, head coaches, all of them.
The flus.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
But I still can't shake how we know how terrible the Patriots defense is. We know how poorly coached they were a year ago. And the fits they gave Caleb Williams in that game, not that Drake May was tremendous in it, but Drake May was the better of the two quarterbacks. He had the better season overall. And I can't shake that game a year ago where Caleb Williams looked like a mess. Maybe Ben Johnson will fix him, and I'll regret this in a year's time. But if I'm quarterback over coach, and I prefer May to Williams, and I don't hate the Vrabel hire. I just preferred other coaches to it, and I wish they did a real process, mm-hmm. which they didn't. I'm going to lean in on Drake May and Mike Vrabel. But I think it's close. And if Ben Johnson goes out and has a monster year, Keith, like, what'd you text us off the air? You're like, I'm going to take Caleb Williams way too high in fantasy.
Oh, I am. I absolutely am. And I'll tell you, so everybody that thinks Caleb Williams sucks, and that's fine. Everybody has your opinion. We all saw, maybe the only game you saw was the Patriots game. So that would lead anybody to think that the guy sucks and his offensive line sucks. Do you know what Caleb Williams' final numbers were for the season? Like ballpark kind of numbers?
Let me guess. I'm going to go like 3,500 yards.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Let me go
35, 41.
Let me go like 23 touchdowns and like 15 picks.
How about 20 touchdowns,
yep.
6 interceptions?
Wow.
20 and 6.
It's pretty good.
That's where he went last year.
That was like a month for Drake May.
Yeah. He completed 60.
Meaning the picks.
No. He completed 62.5% of his passes, which is nothing to get.
That's low.
That is low, especially in the modern NFL. I mean, you know, it's a fun exercise. Go back, if you're really bored one day, look at some of the passing stats from like the 90s. That would lead the league, 62.5.
Oh, 62.
They couldn't complete about 50%. You're like, wee!
Drew Bledsoe dreamed of completing 62% of his passes.
And like, so QB rating, 87.8. So he wasn't great. He did win 5 games, which is low based on what we thought their talent was. Turns out they were in a division with 3 other teams that made the playoffs. Remember, we pulled up their games after the Patriots game. We're like, they're going to lose out. Like, they're not going to win any of these games. And I don't think they, oh no, they won the final game of the season, but whatever. Like, they lost almost all their games. They were, or no, did they? Yeah, they did. They won their final game because I don't think Green Bay had anything to play for. But my point is, like, it wasn't maybe as much of a train wreck statistically,
well,
and
shocked
on the field.
I'm shocked he only threw 6 picks. That is a surprising number to me.
20 and
the
6.
The rest of them were about right. 3,500 yards, yeah. 20-ish touched. Like, I guess I knew that. Low completion percentage. I'm surprised he only threw 6 picks.
And you know what's amazing? He threw 2 in his second game and 2 in his third game. So from week 4 on, he threw 2 interceptions all season long. I think he's good. And this goes back to the debate a year ago about, oh, he's weird and he doesn't talk to the media and like all this, he cries on his mom's lap and all this. Like, there was plenty of like red flags. I just think the player is really good. And now you'll know for sure, because if Ben Johnson can't get anything out of him, then you know what? Maybe he isn't. But this is already a much better start than like a Trevor Lawrence had, or, I mean, way better than like a Bryce Young. Like, he's not in that category.
Yeah, so take the talent around them out of it, because the Bears, as of right now, have more talent. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe the Patriots will add talent in the wide receiver room. I'd expect them to do it through the draft, free agency, or trade. Jeremy Fowler had an interesting name today. We can get to that coming up in a moment. But take the talent around them out of it. Head coach, quarterback, who would you rather be, the Patriots or the Bears? Vrabel and Drake May? Or would you rather be Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson, who's the newest head coach in Chicago? Keith's going with the Bears. I'm going with the Patriots. You can jump in again at 617-779-7937. And I think we can all acknowledge that's a team we're going to follow this year.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson, you interviewed, so I'm assuming he was the runner-up candidate here.
I don't know. Maybe Pep Hamilton.
Well, maybe it might have been Leftwich.
He's top 4 anyway.
Then you have Drake May and Caleb Williams all in the same draft class, where I think most of us acknowledge now you got to put Jaden Daniels above Drake May. I would have drafted May before Daniels. I was saying until a couple of weeks ago, I'm still riding with Drake May over Daniels. It's hard to ignore when he's in the NFC title game. despite being older and spending more time in college and maybe having a higher floor, I think it'd be hard to make a real case for Drake May over Jaden Daniels
these days. This could be the, was it the 2020 draft or the 2018 draft actually is even really good with Baker, Allen, Lamar, and even like the resurgence of Sam Darnold. Like there are a few draft classes over the last 6 years, 7 years.
But I think we all feel pretty confident in I'm taking Drake May before Caleb Williams. In a year's time, that could all flip where you look at it and go, well, wow, you got Caleb Williams, a real coach. There was some talent there. Look at the scheme. Look at the improvement. And you could be looking at it in a year's time going, the Bears did it right. And we went with a retread defensive coach who wants to run the football. And the Patriots are in a whole different spot. So that's a real risk watching Chicago this year. They're the Bears. Yeah. They could screw it all up. They always do. But I'm going to be watching that closely because that's closer to the combination that I wanted than what the Patriots actually did.
Yeah, and I think when you look at all these young quarterbacks and you see what they did, right? Like, so let's leave McCarthy to the side because he didn't play. But Bo Nix went to a team with Sean Payton, and you're like, that's pretty good. Like, if anybody, even though he's not my favorite coach of all time, if he's going to get the most out of a guy like Bo Nix, he couldn't have really gone to a better spot. Hmm. You know, Jaden Daniels goes to a team that's coached by Dan Quinn, but they hire Cliff Kingsbury, and so now he's working with a sort of a QB guru. Drake May gets thrown into this spot. Mess. You know, give him credit for everything he was able to do, and maybe now next year, this is why the offensive coordinator position is so important, maybe he'll be better suited. Caleb Williams went to a spot that we all thought was good originally. Turns out it wasn't, and now he gets Ben Johnson, who we don't know how he's going to be as a head coach, but just straight up as a play caller, I don't think you can ask for a whole lot more. So right now, these guys are all in pretty good spots. I think at least Drake May has a real professional head coach right now, but the jury's still out on who he's going to get to call his plays.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance they both are in better spots than a year ago, right?
Like, yeah, they should be.
Ben Johnson gives you a good scheme. Drake May now has an adult and a real NFL coach instead of whatever they had a year ago. So who would you rather be, the Bears or the Patriots? Keefe, again, going with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. I'm going with Drake May and Mike Vrabel. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. You highlighted the offensive coordinator search. Mm-hmm. I do think because Vrabel is the hire here, that is important. We'll get to the latest on that coming up in just a little bit, along with some thoughts on the Celtics and the Bruins. Jeremy Fowler pulled sources around the league, and maybe this would make you feel differently about the debate of Patriots or Bears when you start factoring in the talent around. He was polling executives throughout the league on moves they could see happening. And one they highlighted was Tyreek Hill from the Dolphins to the Patriots. Wiggy's stumped for this before. He says, this one is wild, but Tyreek Hill's displeasure in Miami was out there after week 18. Supposedly they've fixed things up and everybody's on the same page. I don't buy that for a second. He says, in-division trades are not as rare as they were a decade ago. It's largely about which team offers the best value. Quote, the Patriots are desperate. They need a guy, that alpha, that can be friendly to Drake May, a veteran NFC personnel man said. And there's a higher chance of draft picks that Miami would receive in the trade being higher than with a contender. So in other words, Miami would look at it potentially and go, well, yeah, it's in the division. And yeah, we'd be giving Drake May a target. But this NFC personnel guy looks at it and says, Miami, it would be valuable to make a trade like that because you're going to get better draft capital. So they
that really comes down to the philosophy of the front office, right? Because you and I have talked about this before. Whatever the best deal is, get the deal.
That's what I would do.
Same. Bill Belichick would have done that. Yep. He traded Drew Bledsoe in the division.
That's our second Bledsoe mention, yes.
Yeah, how about that? But like he would just do the best deal. But you could tell there are times where guys don't, or for whatever reason, it's really important to send them to the other conference and get rid of them. Like, I wonder if that had anything to do with if you went back to, like, the Bruins. Like, was Joe Thornton to the Sharks the best deal you could make? Or Tyler Seguin to the Stars was the best deal you could make? Or, like, or they just be like, we don't want to get...
We want to trade him to the Western Conference.
Yeah, we want to get rid of him so it's out of sight, out of mind. But, yeah, if you're Miami, or Dolphins in this case, you should just go for the best pick possible.
So the pick that they came up with, or Fowler settled on, and it's probably from talking to people, is the day two pick, which I'm trying to look at. Where exactly are the Patriots with the second round pick?
So those kind of flip, right, if you have similar records, I think?
Well, yeah, the tiebreaker winds up shaking out differently in round two. I think they start alternating teams after that.
Yeah.
So where are the Patriots?
I don't know if the full list of picks are out yet. Is it?
Maybe it's waiting on playoff teams. But it'd be a high second round pick. Would you give up a day two pick for Tyreek Hill? I already see people in the Twitch chat saying, oh, I don't want that scumbag on this team. Oh, this and that.
I
look.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
not a good guy. but I would take him on this team in a heart for a day two pick. Yeah.
I think I would. It looks like 38.
Okay.
So right now they have 4, 38, 69. Nice. 77, 107. That's actually day three. But they have 2 third round picks because of the Matt Judon trade.
Yep.
And then they have obviously the 4th overall pick. Yeah, I would. I think I would rather. He might be a better player today, Tyreek Hill, than A.J. Brown, but just for the overall thing, I think I'd rather target A.J. Brown. Not that he's necessarily going to be available, but the Vrabel connection, he's a little bit younger. I know he's like reading books on the sideline, but he's a better guy. Like, I think I would.
Yeah.
I'd rather go for A.J. Brown, but if it's Tyreek Hill or just another dart throw of a draft pick, I'd suck it up and take Tyreek Hill.
Okay, so add that to the discussion as well. When you're thinking about would you rather be Chicago or New England, that's a choice that Ben Johnson certainly was weighing when he was looking at different head coaching jobs. Well, add the talent around Drake May. Jeremy Fowler links Tyreek Hill to the Patriots, or has an NFL personnel guy linking Tyreek Hill to the Patriots. Is a move that could go down this offseason. You could jump in on it. 617-779-7937. We'll get into the offensive coordinator search for the Patriots. Is there a holdup? Is that telling about who's going to come in here as the play caller for Drake May? We'll get to the Celtics and the Bruins. Both won yesterday. Do you feel any differently about those teams? Plus, we're going to solve things here, not only at this radio station, but for all the teams in town.
Good.
Boston Pizza Party rankings.
Yes, hell yeah.
Because I would say all these teams, including WEEI, we could all use a pizza party these days. So we'll get into it with all your phone calls coming up right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Bruins and Celtics got back in the win column yesterday. The Bees entered the third period down 3-2 to the San Jose Sharks. Charlie Coyle would score twice. Brad Marchand and Elias Lindholm would each add in an empty net goal to give the Bruins the 6-3 win at the Garden. The Bees return to the ice tomorrow night in New Jersey to play the Devils. The Seas dominated the Golden State Warriors 125-85 at the Chase Center yesterday. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 22 points and 9 rebounds. The Celtics road trip continues tomorrow night when the Seas will be in Los Angeles to play the Clippers. Ohio State won their 9th college championship, college football national championship, after last night's 34-23 win over Notre Dame. And the NFL's conference championship matchups are this Sunday. The Eagles host the Commanders. That game kicks off at 3 o'clock, followed by the Bills versus the Chiefs in Kansas City. Kickoff from Arrowhead Stadium is at 6:30. You can hear Westwood One's call of conference championship Sunday right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. Coverage begins at 2 o'clock. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now. Jones and Keefe on WEEI. And streaming on WEEI.com.
Let's talk about the Patriots' search for an offensive coordinator. A new coach, Mike Vrabel, has started that this week. My understanding is spent Tuesday interviewing Thomas Brown, the former Bears interim head coach, also interim offensive coordinator. Dealt with a lot in Chicago. Very impressive despite tough results on the field. Also sounds like they want to talk to Marcus Brady, who is now a Chargers assistant. That said, guys, as you know, most people believe that Josh McDaniels, former Patriots OC, actually a couple times, still lives in New England, currently not working, would be a prime candidate for that job, considered to be the favorite. I would expect Mike Vrabel to talk to him as they go about the process of trying to find a new offensive coordinator.
So where are the Patriots at on their coordinator search? And maybe it's inconsistent of us, Keith, to call for a speedy process here, and hey, what are they doing, and why haven't they hired anybody? When we asked for a real head coaching search a year ago, we asked for a real head coaching search this go round, and we want a real search at coordinator and not just handing it over to Josh McDaniels. So maybe it's inconsistent to say, what are they doing and why haven't they hired anyone? I guess I'm okay with the why haven't they hired anyone piece. I'm okay with that.
No, I am.
Where's the news on who they're interviewing and who they're talking to?
Where are the names?
Right.
Send us the names.
Because we got a couple of them over the weekend. You heard Rap Sheet reference it there. Marcus Brady.
Yeah.
And Thomas Brown from Chicago.
It's like, what are we doing? Are we doing the same thing as the head coaching search?
I think, or at least I thought I knew what they were doing when I saw those names come out, which is unfortunate. It's where your brain goes. But it's like, oh, they've satisfied the Rooney Rule so they can just jam in Josh McDaniels. But I thought that was happening. They had these interviews over the weekend. It's Tuesday. I still haven't heard anything about any other interviews on offense. We're getting a few trickles of information for D coordinator. And our guy, Jeremy Springer, is going to be retained as special teams coordinator.
Yeah, the Spring Dog's back.
Good job by him.
Good job, Jeremy Springer.
We like him on this show, friend of the show.
Yeah, he is.
And so, yeah, where's the new? It's not that they haven't hired someone. It's what's gone on with the news. Where is the news? Where's the information on who they're interviewing, who they're interested in for offensive coordinator? And I'm wondering.
Well, because we thought they were going to be more transparent, really, since Belichick left. And even when the last year of Belichick, remember when Robert Kraft came out with that list? He's like, we are going to put in a search for an offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Even that one was a bad job because they just went to Bill O'Brien. Like, that was not very imaginative. They brought in Bill O'Brien. Then the next year, you see what happens. And now we're in a spot where we kind of made fun of the Jets just because of some of the names on the list. But when the season ended, the Jets had like 16 guys attached to the head coach interviews, including Rex Ryan, of all people. They had like this top to bottom list. And you're like, oh my God, look at these candidates. But they were pretty forthright with their fans, being like, we're going to talk to all these guys and we're going to try to hire the best one. And the Patriots, you thought you might get the same thing. And you're like, all right, well, the head coach job clearly was just a bad job anyway. But OC, that one really should be more open, because even if it's guys that were linked to Vrabel, there's a bunch of guys. Even if it's, you know, bringing back a retread in Josh McDaniels, like, that's at least another one. And why not be creative here? Why not see? Last year, you talked to 13 guys, and I wonder if part of that is they felt like they got burned last year, because it wasn't like, hey, these are all these candidates and like we have the pick of all of them. Like, it got kind of revealed that a lot of them turned you down.
Yeah.
A lot of them didn't want you.
Of people took other jobs and or said no.
Now, this job looks a lot better this year because you know who your quarterback is and you know who your head coach is. Not that you didn't know who the head coach was last year, but like, you know, you have an experienced real head coach. So I could see an offensive coordinator being like, yeah, that looks like a job where I could go in and succeed. Whereas last year, you didn't. And all the jokes about, or the reports, which kind of were jokes, the interviews were light on football for the offensive coordinator. So, like, there's like red flags galore for
all over the place.
12, 13 of the candidates that rolled through there. But the way they talked about, or Robert Kraft specifically talked about, you know, the list of candidates for head coaching. He's like, oh yeah, Stacey will be communicating that. And just in this time where all these team accounts tweet out all the images of all the guys they've talked to on down the line, I am surprised that they were the first team to fire their coach, not counting the in-season ones. They were the first team to hire their new head coach, and yet the offensive coordinator thing has dragged with the names. I don't need a guy today. They don't have a game tomorrow. Like, I don't need a guy today, but I thought we would have way more of an idea.
A comprehensive list.
Yeah, I thought we would.
So, and by the way, they are doing interviews on the defensive side of the ball. Mike Reese had this yesterday. The Patriots have requested permission to interview Dolphins outside linebackers coach Ryan Crowe for their defensive coordinator opening. Crowe coached under Vrabel in Tennessee from 18 to 23.
All right.
So that makes sense. They're requesting it on the defensive side. We don't really know a ton about their interviews on offense outside of two interviews that feel like they're rushing to satisfy the Rooney Rule, is what it feels like. I don't think teams are lining up to hire Thomas Brown, who was the interim coach for the Bears a year ago. I definitely don't think people are lining up for Marcus Brady, who was the offensive play caller in Indianapolis, or I'm sorry, offensive coordinator. I think Steichen was the play caller. That's the information we have. So the best that I can glean is a list we went over quickly yesterday. You guys can jump in with all your thoughts on the offensive coordinator search. But it's Mike Reese's list that we blew through yesterday, where he mentions Arthur Smith and Tim Kelly and Tony Dews, all of whom Vrabel worked with in Tennessee. He then mentions that Vrabel initially wanted to bring Ryan Day with him take him from Ohio State before Ryan Day was the head coach at Ohio State.
Yeah, that'd be a big step down after winning the title.
He was the then co-offensive coordinator. You're not getting Ryan Day. They win last night.
No.
Much to the chagrin of yours truly. Good win for the state of New Hampshire, though, Keith.
Huge win for the Granite State.
So let's stick with that. Chip Kelly.
Yeah,
who
maybe
is
Chip Kelly.
Ryan Day's mentor. And you have to wonder if he has an appetite to come back to the NFL. Does he really want to be a play caller for Ryan Day? And would he have any interest in coming back to the NFL? Along with Mike LaFleur, Dave Ragone, those are the names in the Rams now that they're eliminated that maybe you could look to. So I'm kind of treating that as a pseudo list, but I don't have any information on who's calling, who's interviewing to ultimately be the play caller here. I don't have any info on that.
Kind of, to me, it's shaping. I've gone back and forth on if it's just going to be McDaniels, because we talked about how Adam Schefter only mentioned McDaniels' names. Tom Curran, who we'll talk to today at noon, he's talked about McDaniels. Mike Reese was one, maybe the only one recently, who was like, oh, that's certainly not like a slam dunk. I'm like, all right, well, that's a positive sign.
Reese has highlighted that they never worked together. Like, they overlapped while Vrabel was a player in New England, but they never actually worked together on a coaching staff.
No, they didn't. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why I like Vrabel, and I don't really consider him in the tree, even though I know you do or some others do as well. But this is kind of playing out like the head coach search was. You interview the two minority candidates, then you kind of slow play it, and then you're like, oh, yeah, and by the way, here's Vrabel, and boom, 2 days later, he has the job.
Yeah.
It feels like we're going there. Like, are they looking for one more, like, who's their Ben Johnson, if you will, version of this, where they're like, oh, they're serious. Oh, they interview, like, Dave Ragone, and it's not him. And then Josh McDaniels is the fourth interview, and holy smokes, we hired him. And you wait until conference championship Sunday to announce it,
trying to overshadow the whole thing. Yeah, like they did.
Like, I don't know. I mean, that's the way it's looking to me now. Like, I'm back into picking McDaniels in the McDaniels versus Field.
Is there an offensive coordinator? We asked earlier. Would you rather be the Bears with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, or would you rather be Mike Vrabel with Drake May and the Patriots? I would rather be the Patriots in that scenario. Just coach quarterback. You'd rather be the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an offensive coordinator higher where it would swing you over to the Patriots side? Like, I don't think it's McDaniels for you, but
Chip Kelly might.
He might?
Yeah. I'm a big Chip Kelly fan. So Chip Kelly might. Maybe one of the Rams guys. I don't know. Maybe like a Mike LaFleur, like somebody like that might.
So you hire Mike LaFleur, that could swing you over in that debate to the
Patriots. I think so, because that guy's just so important. And I do like, you know, it's easier to love or hate any of these guys, but I like both head coaches and I like both quarterbacks. So, like, to me, it's not this huge gap anyway. So, you know, some of the rumors in Chicago, there is, you know, Ben Johnson's going to bring in Dennis Allen, for example, to run his defense.
As his D coordinator. I think he's talking about bringing in, was it Rizzi? Who was he talking about bringing in as well on that team?
It's pretty good. It's kind of like my plan.
Yeah,
kind of like my plan. But
that,
like,
is a lot like your
plan. Give me, like, some old dudes that got experience to run the other side of the ball. Like Sean McVay, Wade Phillips, isn't that a little bit like Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen?
Yeah.
So I kind of like that. So I think that's important. And so Mike Vrabel is not just a defensive, I mean, he is a defensive guy, but he's also sort of like a atmosphere guy, or like a, not atmosphere, what's the word? Like, just changing the whole
culture.
Yeah. Like, he's going to do that. Doesn't mean you don't need somebody to really cook up some great play calls for your young quarterback. So, yeah, there are probably a couple of names out there. I don't think McDaniels is one of them. I don't think Thomas Brown is one of them, or Marcus Brady. But there's probably a couple that I would swing towards this.
We were talking about the talent that you could upgrade to. Jeremy Fowler talked to an NFL personnel guy that said, yeah, high second-round pick, day two pick from the Patriots could get it done for Tyreek Hill. There's a lot of pushback in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, about bringing in a bad guy like Tyreek Hill. I think the second the Patriots traded for him, you'd be singing a different tune. I think Keith and I would trust us to be consistent. We thought Aroldis Chapman was a bad guy before the Red Sox signed him.
Yeah.
Same thing with Tyreek Hill. In this case, I'd take the guy on the team as bad of a guy as he is, mm-hmm. as an unideal of a human being that he is. I'd take him on the team for that acquisition cost. The other name that was floating around, you like A.J. Brown.
Yes.
Cooper Kupp basically just said after they got eliminated, I want to keep playing, but I'm not sure it's going to be in L.A. You love Kupp. That's another name that could, you know, upgrade the wide receiver room almost overnight.
It would. My fear with Kupp now is there's a few guys, like DeAndre Hopkins a couple years ago, I loved and wanted him. And so at one point, DeAndre Hopkins was the best wide receiver in the NFL. And, you know, now he's not. And he's still in the league and whatever else. Cooper Kupp, a couple years ago, was the best NFL receiver in the league and had the best NFL receiver season in league history. He's still really good. Like, we've seen him make some plays. Hell, against the Patriots, he was good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I wonder. He's the best guy on the Patriots, but that's also a low bar. I guess the acquisition cost wouldn't be as high.
Since he had the wide receiver triple crown, 145, 19, 47, and 16 in 2021.
And a Super Bowl MVP.
Super Bowl MVP that year.
That was the greatest wide receiver season ever.
He has played 9, 12, 11 games.
Yeah.
75, 59, 67 catches. 8, 12, 737, 710 yards.
Oh, when he's out there, he's pretty productive.
6, 5, 6 in touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, on a per-game basis, maybe that's better, but you know he's going to miss a month and maybe half the season like he did in 2022. And, yeah,
yeah, is that... you'd have to rank it A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, and Kupp for me. That'd be my order of preference.
Or if you're bringing in Kupp, you got to take another swing, whether that's the draft or
Higgins.
Whether it's T. Higgins or somebody like that. 617-779-7937. We can get into the offensive coordinator search for the Patriots. Some wide receiver names floating around, both Tyreek Hill and Cooper Kupp seem like they could be available, along with A.J. Brown, who Keith has been talking up. Would you rather be Mike Vrabel with Caleb Williams or Drake May? And Ben Johnson with Caleb Williams or Mike Vrabel and Drake May here in New England? You can jump in on that. Plus, we'll get to the Celtics and the Bruins, both big wins for them yesterday. In day games that happened during the day, matinee for the Bruins, early game on the West Coast for the Celtics, smoking Steve Kerr and the Warriors. We'll get into their days next.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Celtics are fixed. That's good.
All set here. Actually, not true, Jones. The thing with the Celtics as of late is they simply alternate wins and losses.
Oh.
So they were due for a win, big win. Their previous win, sandwiched with a loss in there, was a blowout win. They blew out the
Orlando Magic,
smoked the Magic.
Jalen was all pissy after the win. He blew off the media, except for Abby Chen, who he told that he's adjusting to his role still. He's still adjusting to his role.
Yeah.
This season, which
new
is
role.
After a win.
Right.
Yeah.
So you bring the whole team back from a championship team. You guys are, you're not playing great, but you're not bad. You're the third best record in the NBA. You just won a game, and you're adjusting to your role.
So they blew out Orlando. It meant nothing.
Well, he's probably,
they lost the next day to Atlanta, and now they blow out Golden State.
You know what's probably on his mind?
What's that?
His contract. The guy's probably working for a Oh, no, he has like a super-duper max deal.
He was the highest player in the league. Yeah. Maybe he's worried that he's not anymore.
He wants a raise?
Could be.
Looking for a raise?
Yeah, who among us wouldn't?
Listen, if you can get one, get one.
Yeah.
But the Celtics, not surprising. I mean, maybe it's surprising how much they won by. Like, that was just a route. I think they said it was the biggest home loss in the Steve Kerr era with the Warriors. They had never lost by that many points at home. Because we didn't know if Curry was even going to play.
Correct. When we said at the end of the show, well, number one, you pointed out the pattern of wins, losses.
They've got to win that game.
I said I'd take the Celtics to cover easily. I wasn't sure Curry was going to play. I knew Draymond was out. Kuminga was out. They were relatively shorthanded. And the Celtics were going to answer for the game earlier this year where the Warriors got them.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people have picked up on today is Tatum and even Jalen, to a degree, blowing off Steve Kerr after the game. Kerr was lingering around the court.
Yeah, lurking.
After the blowout. Lurking is
lurking.
A good word.
Yeah.
Tatum was talking to Steph. Jalen was kind of waiting to talk to Curry.
Yeah.
They ultimately talked afterwards. A lot of people have looked at the screen grab where Tatum blew off Kerr. I'm almost positive. I was watching the postgame last night. Before Tatum talked to Dennis Scott on TNT after
3D.
The game. When he went over to 3D and he was talking about some of the struggles they've had recently and the hangover from a year ago, winning a title, I'm almost positive he talked to Kerr in between.
I didn't see that part.
But very clearly on the screen, he was doing his best not to talk to Steve Kerr, which I'll acknowledge. I love the idea. Yeah, you can see it here if you're watching on Twitch. Yeah, yeah.
Tatum and Curry have like a long embrace, and Kerr's like, look at me.
Yeah, he's just
I
like,
I want to walk over here. Maybe in your line of sight now.
So I think after this, and I don't know how long we can hang with the video. Oh, no, it's just repeating now. But after this, Kerr is kind of lingering over there before he talks to Dennis Johnson, and they say something real quick. So he didn't totally blow him off, but he certainly tried to blow him off. I didn't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
I just love the idea of like, oh, in your face, Kerr. Tatum had his chance to stick it to Kerr before.
Yeah.
He already had his chance to do it.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't have that in him.
The home game, he just doesn't have
it's
in him.
It's not there.
Like,
it's
people
fine.
Want that. This is proof that people wanted it, and they claim they didn't want it when the Warriors came into the building earlier, and he was never, ever going to do it. And so, look, the Celtics blow out the Warriors. It's going to take more than one blowout to change my mind that they're back and everything is fixed and everybody's on board.
Yeah, how about, like, stringing a couple of wins together? They haven't done that in a long time. And this team,
it's wild, like who they play to and who they lose to over this last month. You know, those are some bad games in there, whether it's Sacramento, then Toronto is almost inexcusable, and then Atlanta losing to the Hawks again. So they got this little road trip going on right now. They're off today. And then it's Clippers, Lakers, back-to-back, and then the trip ends with Dallas. But the last time they won back-to-back games was January 2nd and 3rd, right? Like, it's been
a 500 team for a month and a half.
20 games, right? Just barely over 500 in for 20 games, which is like an 8 seed. So how are they going to do it? We were going through a lot of what Joe Mazzulla was saying the other day, and he's just like going on and on and on about like, what did you expect? And like, where are we going to be? And like, this is a challenge and whatever else. And it's like, okay, I'm not surprised that they won a game. This isn't the Bruins who had lost 6 in a row and then were kind of like grasping at straws. This team's not going to lose multiple games in a row. They're too good for that. But are they going to be able to be consistent and win multiple games in a row right now? That's one thing that we haven't seen.
No. And so you can jump in on this. There's something off with the Celtics. I'm not saying I can put my finger on it. I think it's something about what Jalen was talking about, adjusting the roles and guys all pulling in the same direction. They're struggling with that. Doesn't mean they can't win a championship. Doesn't mean they suck. But it does mean they've played poorly now for well over a month, 500 ball for well over a month. What's off with the team? And did they solve it all by having their common enemy in Steve Kerr on the other side yesterday? 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, the Bruins beat up is strong. They're actually losing in the third period of that game yesterday.
They come back.
They were trailing 3-2. Charlie Coyle gets a game-tying goal and a go-ahead goal. They had a couple of empty netters late. But San Jose is, if not the worst team, among the worst. They're tied for the fewest points.
Yeah, they're horrible.
With Chicago, they played two extra games, so they probably are the worst team in the NHL. Bruins beat them 6-3. They desperately needed a win, especially after the Ottawa debacle, where Brad Marchand got benched. Do you feel any better about the Bruins and their chances of making the playoffs?
No, I don't feel better about it. I mean, they desperately needed the 2 points, so I think it's kind of... You should feel the same way you felt yesterday. And I didn't feel great about it yesterday, like even before the game. Because we said this is almost like 2 points that you have to have. Home game against the worst team in hockey. But you just see what else is going on around the division, let alone the conference. I don't have a great deal of faith. Now, maybe one thing, maybe Joe Sacco and Cam Neely and Don Sweeney see the young players and sort of the shot of adrenaline they've given the team, and maybe you stick with some of these guys a little bit more. They've had to shuffle the lineups, whether it's, you know, Trent Frederick being sick or guys getting hurt here, they're getting dinged up. But some of these young guys seem to be going balls to the wall out there.
Patra's giving you something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he has. He had the goal in his first game. He had the setup the other day, or yesterday rather, to Coyle on the game tying goal. So yeah, I think he's giving you a little something. Maybe there's an element to it, but when you have your captain getting benched against the Senators,
yeah,
and you have your team president coming out and talking about retooling, hell no, I don't feel any better about this team making the playoffs.
No.
Just because they picked up 2 points, barely, against arguably the worst team in the NHL, I'm going to need a much longer stretch to convince me of that. And I would say the same thing for Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, and Bruins ownership before they're convinced.
Yeah, they're still, right now, they are. They moved into a playoff spot with the win yesterday. Because Columbus has dropped 2 in a row, but Columbus has played one less game, and they are 1 point back. Montreal is right there. They're 2 points back with 2 games in hand. So, yeah, they're in there. Like, it seems like they're going to be kind of ping-ponging between wild card, not wild card, almost like kind of like the Red Sox the last few years at the deadline, and they've had to make these hard decisions, and they've kind of made the wrong decision every time. This time, like, if they're where they're at right now, technically in the playoffs, when the trade deadline comes around, what direction is Cam Neely going? Does he look at that and be like, yeah, we're right there? Because don't you feel like the history of the team would tell you, Jacobs would tell him.
Yeah, they trade a first or second round pick to beef up the roster, yeah.
Get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Stay in the playoffs. I don't care if we're not a cup-winning team, but we need to be a playoff team.
Which, largely, I agree with. I agree with that with the Red Sox. I agree with the Bruins most years. But how bad is it in the room? Like, how bad is the situation where now there's a bigger issue going on where you really got to get the stink out? 617-779-7937. Both the Celtics and Bruins win yesterday. Is that enough to change any minds? My sense is no, but you could jump in on that. Also, what's it going to take to get you to buy in on the Celtics being back as a true title contender, title favorite, getting back to the way they were playing early in the year? And what's it going to take to get you on board with the Bruins as a playoff team? We'll get to that. Plus, we have pizza party rankings for the city. Your idea always, Keith, is a pizza party can fix just about anything.
Fixes everything. You don't have people, you know, being mad at each other at a pizza party.
So who needs a pizza party the most in this town among the Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox, Patriots, and even WEEI?
Yeah,
there's
one
been a
through
little,
five.
Little friction between Keith and Courtney.
A little bit.
On the morning show and Jones and Keith here. So we'll solve that coming up in a little bit. We'll also get you our winners and losers from the divisional round. That's next.